It's good to see some old friends, some new faces. thank you for praying. Just a couple weeks ago, I was in Malaysia and Singapore. Every time when I was over there, I'm not sure why they want me to speak to the youth in Chinese, in Mandarin. I mean, I haven't speak to the youth in Mandarin for a long time, but every time they want me to share with the young people. 2 years ago, when I was back in Malaysia, they have a youth mission conference. That means from year 7 to year 12. 500 people came, and then by the end, over 250 people walked to the front and dedicated themselves. It was very touching time, and this time, a lot of young people, they came to me saying that I'm graduating from high school. I want to go to the mission field. What should I do? I said, wait a minute. Okay, you know, you are a bit too young. Can you wait? Can you go to college? And then from there and see how God leads you. They say, no, I want to go. I want to save life now. It's very touching. I mean, just a lot of things happening around the world. this morning, I would like to share with you about David. It's a very familiar Old Testament character in the Bible, and yet it's a very touching story, and how God worked through an individual's life and then help him to grow spiritually and mature until God can use him in a very mighty way. And this is my prayer to each and every one of us also. Whenever we come before the Lord, we worship Him. We honor Him. We want to know more about Him. We want to learn how to work with Him. But at the same time, we need to grow until we can work with Him. Because quite often, working with the Lord can be quite frustrating. Because a lot of things we don't know, God knows, and He doesn't talk to us in advance quite often. So we don't understand. We got frustrated. We got disappointed. So that's why I would like to share with you this coming 3 weeks, and today and next week I'm preaching again, and then on the July 15th I'm preaching with you about a tale of three kings. The first king is David. The next one, you come and you know who is it. Okay. when I think about how God just prepare a person so that he can be called, you know, someone that is after His own heart, and that He can use him very mightily. I'm very touched because He chose David from 1 Samuel chapter 16 onward, and there are a lot of things recording about David. One thing that, you know, just struck me so badly, because from chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, you know, God was frustrated with King Saul, and then you know probably quite well why. Then God asked Samuel to go and look for another person to be the next king of Israel. So when God instructs Samuel to go to a family called Jesse's family, and he has 8 boys. Everybody know what happened. The 7 older ones, they were staying at home. And the youngest one, David, he was asked to look after the flock of sheep. So David was in the wilderness with the sheep, the animal. I'm not sure if you are familiar with, you know, shepherding a flock of sheep. In Africa, it's a very simple thing. The Fulani, those nomadic people, the boy, young boy, will just take a, you know, stick or rock, and then have a container of water, and just following the sheep, or actually leading the sheep, to go to wherever they got good grasses or water. So they walk and then spend time with the sheep and just go around. Sometimes they will go around for a month or more than a month. Even sometimes they go for 1 year before returning home. It's a very lonely thing. very lonely thing, because what else you can talk to the sheep? So David developed a kind of a habit. He sings a lot of songs, and then the only audience is the sheep. So he can just try anyway, he can sing whatever he can, and no one will say that you don't sing well, you know. So that is the background, that when we read the psalm in the Bible, the psalm that written by David, so beautiful, so expressive, so, you know, singing from the heart. It's no pretending, it's so real, so original. It's very touching. It's very touching. Another thing, a lot of people suggesting what David was doing when shepherding the sheep. I think one is he usually pick up something like small rocks, and then, you know, use his sling, you know, to just try anything, because sometimes there are animals, wild animals came and then try to, you know, steal the lamb or the younger one. Then David need to chase them away. So basically David was very lonely. He was alone in the wilderness with the animal. But one day, when Samuel came, and then he asked specifically for this younger boy, younger son of Jesse. So when the brother came and said, David, an old man called Samuel is looking for you. So David went home. The Bible says Samuel anointed him in front of his brothers, his family. Immediately, everybody knows what happened, because anointing by a priest, by a prophet, that means something. It's something that indicates that David will become king or become someone important. You know, we as Christians, we love to be anointed by the Holy Spirit. Anointed by the Holy Spirit, like, you know, if we are spiritually mature enough, if we are, you know, someone important that God can use us, that would be something very, you know, appreciated. But what happened? What happened when I read the Bible? I found out David wasn't asked to be king immediately. He was actually enrolled to a school of suffering. Why? He was enrolled to a school of suffering. You just look at what happened. What happened? He is supposed to be king, but he was enrolled to a school of suffering. A lot of suffering, you know, came follow. And then he was asked to serve a mad king, a crazy king. You know, someone is crazy, mad, and yet with authority, and you are serving this person, that is not something we are looking for. It's not something we are looking for. You know what happened? There's a lot of difficulties. A lot of difficulties came up. Especially when he was singing, you know, to calm down the mad king, the king Saul. And, you know, when he sings, he used his song, you know, beautiful song, to drive away the evil spirit that is disturbing King Saul. And then he was challenged to fight the giant, the liar. And then the king was so mad with him, and threw spear to him. I'm not sure what are you going to do with that. You know, what do you do when someone, you know, throws a spear to you? What do you do? Okay, just react normally. Don't think about spiritual. Just react normally. What are you going to do? Huh? You just pick up the spear and throw it back. I mean, that is the normal way to do. Why? Because to prove that you are courageous, okay? You stand for the right. Okay, I'm serving you, I've done nothing wrong, why you throw a spear to me? So you have the right to do that. Now you boldly stand against the wrong. This is wrong. Okay, I will let you know that you are wrong. Doesn't matter who you are. You are boss or you are king. Doesn't matter. I let you know. And then you show the person throwing the spear to you that you are tough. And then you cannot be pushed around anyway by anybody. You want to show them. You will not stand injustice and unfair treatment. Okay, if someone throws a spear to you. Did anyone throw a spear to you recently? You feel hurt? You feel injustice? You feel that this person is wrong? Do you want to pick up the spear and throw it back and say that I'm a defender of the faith, keeper of the flame, and detector of all heresies? You know, you just want to do something to let the other person know that he's wrong. Okay, I'm right. Yes, you have the right to do all this after the order of King Saul. Do you know? And after years of practice, you throw it back because someone threw a spear to you. After many years of practice, you might become so skillful, spear thrower, especially when you are mad, and as mad as King Saul. And eventually you become another King Saul. This is the spiritual discipline that God put in front of David. David, what are you going to do if Saul throw a spear to you? What are you going to do? The Bible says that David ignored it in a way that like that, nothing happened. Of course, David, he was very hurt. He was frightened. But he never struck back. He never. There is something there. The Bible says that God sees a man after his own heart and appoint him leader of his people. God knows. What is God looking for in your heart and in my heart today? We have been thrown spears quite often. A lot of things is not fair. I don't know, as Christians like us in America, what do we mean by people throw spears to us? I don't know. When we were in Niger is a different country, but Nigeria, you know, they have around 50% of Muslim there. And even last week, you know, in Kaduna, two churches were burned and many were killed when they were going to church. And during the Easter Sunday, a few churches were bombed also by the suicide bomber. So Nigerian, a lot of church members, they have weapons, they have guns at home. Okay, they want to protect themselves. Sometimes we don't understand, like, okay, a Christian, should we defend our life with our gun? It's a difficult topic, it's a difficult thing to do. But they were threatened all the time, especially in northern Nigeria. They need to stand up and say, that's enough. Okay, you cannot do this to me any longer. This is not fair. Where is the law? Where is justice? It's not easy. It's not easy. A lot of Christians in Egypt, in Liberia, in Libya, in Tunisia, in you know, like Afghanistan or Pakistan or Middle East country, a lot of Christians become refugees because their home was burned down, because their church was burned down. They have nowhere to go. Only then you understand what we mean by someone throwing spears to you and to me. We in America, we have very little taste on our faith. in terms of spiritual discipline, we don't have a lot of cases like that. People come into the church and start accusing us, start beating the pastor when he is preaching. Almost never happened. But this is not so in many parts of the world. We need to pray that God will prepare our heart. Prepare our heart to be like David and not to be like Saul. Because when we react like Saul, and eventually we become like Saul. This is the biblical principle. This is something that we need to remind ourselves of. God wants to use David. He put him into a school of suffering, into a school of brokenness, that he needs to be broken in any way that he may react according to his own will and not God's will. So this is part of the training for him. It is very difficult. It is very difficult. And, you know, David was so persecuted in a way that is so difficult. And then one day he need to leave. He need to run away. You see, David was anointed to be king. And yet he was serving under a king that was rejected by God. And then he was serving that rejected king for years. He didn't have his own schedule or plan, like, okay, I will revenge. I will, leave you and then become king. Then you will know what will happen to you. David just lived silently, alone. He didn't even bring one person with him. If he wants, he can. Because after he killed Goliath, a lot of people following him. He can bring a lot of people and follow him, and he start another kingdom. He can do that. But he refused to do that. Because he said that Saul, no matter what, he was anointed by God. And he is not going to put a hand on God's anointed person. So he is not going to revenge. This is David. And then when he left, who followed him? Basically, those people, they cannot stand the mad king. Some of them left Saul and start following David. And some of them, they were murderers. They were just, people rejected by the society. Some of them, they were just, wanderers. They have nowhere to go. They followed David. David didn't call anybody to follow him. He didn't. He just leave it to God. And then God will work accordingly to his will. So, a lot of time, that was a challenge there, because David may think about whether Saul was really anointed by God or not. Because he doesn't look like. We got all the reason to do something according to our will or we wish. And then in the Bible, First Samuel chapter 24 and 26, two times the Bible records that David has the chance to kill King Saul. He has a chance. David was, just running and staying in the wilderness, in the cave. His life wasn't easy. He was supposed to be a king. Why he ran away? Oh, because this is a school of suffering that he need to learn before he can be a real king. And two times when David got a chance to kill Saul. First Samuel chapter 24 verse 4 saying that this is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish. That was the first time someone who was with David told David, saying that this is the time that God has given you. You can kill Saul and become king because he is your enemy. He is after you all the time. He wants to kill you like killing a dog. So this is the first time, but David refused. David refused. He only did one thing. He went around and cut off a corner of Saul's robe and showed Saul, saying that if I want to kill you, I can, but I didn't, because I don't want to kill you. This is the first time. And the second time, when David has a chance to kill Saul, and then chapter 26 verse 8, Abishai, one of the warrior, one of the leader of his army, of David's group, say to David, today God has delivered your enemy into your hand. Today God has delivered. You see, this is the time that David needs to decide what he wants to do. Brothers and sisters, if we have the chance to revenge, what are we going to do? Especially when a lot of people say that this is the will of God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Christian in a suffering world, it's not easy. It's not easy. I read about the churches in China. You know, basically they have two main groups. One is so-called true self, you know, more related to the government and then recognized by the government. Another group, you in general term, we call them house churches. They meet in houses or, you know, commercial center, in smaller groups, or some of them are quite big groups. The history of them made them divide into two groups and cannot work together with each other until today. Most of the churches, they still cannot work together until today. It was because when the politically communists asked the Christian to register with the government and then allow government to control the church, part of them, they agree and become free self church, and then part of them, they disagree. They want to stand firm. So a lot of persecution came to the unregistered house churches. A lot of persecution came. Until one point, a lot of people thought that there was no churches besides free self church in mainland China. But brothers and sisters, you know, until today, the house churches, they argue all the time, saying that in the years of persecution, we Christians, we never, you know, do anything against the government. We never revenge. We never pray to God saying that, you know, just punish the government. We are good citizens. We want to be, you know, we want to be, you know, just someone that will bless the community, bless the country. Start from a year ago, a church, they call it Watchtower, a church in Beijing, was forced to go outside and meet outside. And they were saying all the time, we are not against the government. Doesn't matter how suffer and what kind of suffer we have been through from the government or from the free self church, but we are not revenge. We are here to worship God. They stand firm on their faith. So brothers and sisters, what are you going to do with unjust injustice? And then you have good reason to revenge and to do something, and to prove people saying that I'm right. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And when David's followers told David, this is the day that God will, you know, punish your enemy. This is the day that God put your enemy into your hand. And what did David do? What did he do? David answers boldly. David answered. It was very, very touching, very, you know, powerful. And David said, better he kill me than I learn his ways. Better that Saul kill me than I learn his way. And David said, better he kill me than I become as he is. Better he kill me. I don't want to be Saul. I want to be a person that after God's heart. So he persecuted me. If I kill him, I'm like him. This is the spiritual discipline that he hold on so firmly. And he said that I should not practice the ways that come that cause the king Saul mad. I should not practice the ways that cause king Saul mad. Why king Saul was so mad? King Saul wasn't mad at the beginning. When he first became king of Israel, he wasn't mad. What happened? Because King Saul has a pattern of, you know, doing things. And David said, I'm not going to practice those kind of doing things, the way of his doing things. I'm not going to practice that. Because if I practice that, if I revenge, and then end up, I'm a mad king also. So, he said, I will not throw spears, nor will I allow hatred grow in my heart. This is his spiritual discipline. He tell himself and he keep it his way and do it as he, you know, he know what is right. I will not throw spears. Not throw spears. Is it easy? Quite often it is easier to suffer than to Well, it is easier to suffer than, you know, than people just misunderstand you and then accuse you of something that is not true. It's easier. But David said, I will not throw spears, nor will I allow hatred grow in my heart. If this morning just any one of us, if we can just remember one or two things that David said here, that will be a good spiritual discipline for our spiritual life. It's very important. And David said, I will not avenge. I will not destroy the Lord's anointed, not now and not ever. This is David. When David said it so loudly, do you know what happened? Thousands and thousands of people following him, they heard this. And they lie down in the night and put their heads on the rock. And they were cold. They don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. Because if David decided to kill Saul, then all those following him can go home. All those following him can return with victory. If David become king, many of them will go to the palace, will have a very honorable life. But David said this, all of them keep silence. They were thinking, who are we following? Who is this David? They know that what David said is right. Even what he said made them suffer even more. But they know that David said what David said is right. No one complained. Everybody kept silent. And I can imagine the angels also kept silent and start dreaming. Dreaming what? Finally. Finally, there is someone that God can use. finally, there is someone that God can use. Someone that loves God, obeys God. Someone that refuses to follow what is right according to human perspective. Someone totally submissive to God's guidance. The suffering came from God to remove all the human reaction in David's heart in terms of injustice, in terms of unfairness, in terms of, you know, jealousy, in terms of envy. A lot of things God removed from David's heart. There is nothing there that, you know, Satan can grab in saying that, David, you know, you are under my control. There is nothing there. This is a making of a spiritual king. And God is looking into our heart this morning, and He wants to challenge us. Are you willing to be trained under God's discipline, spiritual discipline, and then end up you will become a spiritual person that God can use you in a very powerful way? Are you willing to do that? So, brothers and sisters, God is looking for a broken vessel. God is not looking for someone, you know, outwardly intelligent or, you know, with strength and can do a lot of things. God is not looking just outward. God is looking into our heart. And then can our heart respond to David's, you know, desire, David's discipline, and David's answer to all those sufferings this morning? May God help us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the example of David this morning. Look into our heart and search our heart. Lord, if there is anything that we are following Saul's pattern of life, Lord, we ask that you remove that. And help us to learn from David how to look to you and submissive to the training that you have for him. The years that he has to wait until he can become king. Lawfully he can become king much earlier, but he waits and waits until your times come. We just want to thank you for that. And help us to grow spiritually. Lord, there is a lot of temptation out there. You want us to be, you know, faithful to you. You want us to stand firm in our faith, and you want us to start from our heart, that we will be broken. We will know that we cannot do anything with our own strength, but only by the grace of God. And when God, you want to use us, and we are ready. Lord, we want to thank you for the example of David this morning. May you speak to us and give us a new desire for you from today onward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.